You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke 19. Well, this is going to be a switch. We've been teaching on finances, and we've talked the whole gamut of finance, what the Bible says about finance. Everybody say the Bible. Okay. You know, lest we get out of whack, some people think you come to church, you just need to hear how to be saved. Well, you know, after you get saved, you need to live for God. Amen? And so we'll always talk about how to be saved. There's not a service goes by we don't mention Jesus died for our sins. I've said it many times already in this service. And there are times we'll teach on salvation. There's times we teach on healing, teach on prayer, teach on forgiveness. But sometimes we think of those things as being spiritual, and then the rest of our life that we live during the week is not spiritual. Yet God has something to say about our whole life, not just prayer, not just forgiveness, but he has something to say about work. He has something to say about paying bills. He has something to say about budgeting, borrowing, co-signing. We talked about borrowing, co-signing, a week ago or so. He has something to say about investing. Oh, my goodness, investing? Yes, he does. He has something to say about saving. You know, some people have the idea if you're a Christian, you don't need to save. You just need to trust God. But the problem with that is the Bible talks about savings. It talks about budgeting and savings. And we have the idea we don't need insurance. You know, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't have insurance. You ought to just trust God. No, insurance is a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. You know, I believe the angel of the Lord encamps around about us. How many of you believe that? Amen. I still lock my door at night before I go to bed. Locks are good things. Nothing wrong with a lock. Are you out there? I'm trusting God, but I'm using wisdom is what we're doing. And so, you know, you just need to look at things biblically and think spiritually. Spiritually is whatever the Bible says. And if the Bible says if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat, then working's a good thing. Amen? And the Bible talks about work, and working is unto the Lord, not as unto men as men pleases, but as unto the Lord. Then that means working can be a time that we can really be a Christian, let our light shine, by being on time and by doing a good job. That's spiritual. The Bible says pay tribute or taxes where taxes are due, and we have an example of Jesus actually paying taxes. Then paying taxes is not... Oh, I have a hard time saying that. Paying taxes is not ungodly. It actually is a Christian, I should pay taxes because that's the law of the land, that's the law we had. Now, maybe the laws are not that just. Maybe they need to be changed. Maybe we need to work on that. Are you with me? But supporting the government, well, thank God for government. Government is for your good. Without government, you don't, you know, without any laws and without any people keeping the laws and enforcing those laws, and it would just be a nightmare on the street. You wouldn't be safe walking out of your house. So we thank God for laws, thank God for government, and we should support government. Doesn't mean everything is right about government. Doesn't mean every law is good. Sometimes we need to change laws and fix laws and enforce laws we do have. But those things are spiritual things, and I think we just get all out of whack about spirituality, you know. And then when you say invest, oh, my goodness, invest, what are you talking about? I'm not, we don't do that. Well, investment is something Jesus talked about. In his parables, he talked about it. Investment is just putting money into something that you believe is going to make money, whether it's a business or real estate or stock or, you know, any number of things. Investing is beyond just working for a paycheck. It's beyond just saving money. But it actually is putting money in something that's going to make money. That's going to produce something down the road. In one essence, since we do that all the time anyway, as Christians, we're putting our time and our effort into things that we know is going to reap a benefit for us. Even when we tithe and give offerings, you know, we're believing that's going to come back. That is an investment in one sense. Are you with me? I'm not talking about that in particular. I'm just saying the principles there. We invest time in people's lives. We give up things now to enjoy something later. See, debt is when you enjoy something now that you pay for later. Investment is when you give up something now so you can enjoy later. Wow, y'all are excited about that. One thing is, as young people often, we think we're bulletproof. We think that it's always going to be okay and everything's just going to be all right. We're never going to have to do anything, you know. Everything's just going to happen. It's just going to happen for us, and we're not big about putting money aside or investing. As you get older, you're awakened to that lie. You begin to realize life goes on. Bills keep coming. Are you with me? And if you hadn't put money aside, if you haven't invested money, if you don't have any retirement or anything, then as you get older, you're going to have to depend on somebody making money. Hello. And hopefully you put money aside to do that. Or you raise some kids that are making lots of money, they're going to take care of you. I'm believing a little bit of both of that, but are you out there? But it you know, life goes on, and we need to learn to invest. And the best time to do that's when you're young. Even a little, if you just put aside a little money and just do it consistently, pay it like a bill, you know, then it will grow and it will expand. And you know what? You'll be free to serve God, and you'll have more money to give to God. Amen. Think of it that way. Often we don't think of it that way. You know, I always get tickled at government. It's always threatening to cut Social Security. And Social Security is money people have put in that have worked. But you never hear about them cutting welfare. Just a thought. I'm not saying to do that. I'm just saying it's strange that it's holy. We would not. It's taboo. We would never touch that welfare, but we would touch money that people actually earned and put in the system, which really isn't the government's money. It's our money. See, when you think of Social Security, you shouldn't feel bad about taking Social Security because that is your money. That's money you put in at a whole lot less percentage in interest rate than you would have gotten if you'd have put it in a bank or put it in stocks or put it in real estate or put it in business. You're not going to make near the money from the government Social Security than you would if you'd taken that money and done something with it. But just a thought there. But that's what Social Security is. Social Security just boils down to money has been put aside, you know, for when you get older. That would be an investment. Everybody found Luke 19. Okay, let me clarify the term again, because investment is not taking your light bill and putting it in a stock. Investment is money that you don't need to pay your light bill. It's money you don't need to pay your car and your house payment. Investment is money that you don't need to eat food this week. Investment is money above that. Now, you say, I don't have any money above that. Well, you need to believe God for it. You need to ask God to help you and give you wisdom and help you get ahead, because God wants to bless you. You need to get it in your head that God does not want you poor. And if you're just barely getting by, he doesn't want you to stay there either. He wants you to get beyond that. God doesn't want to just bless you. He wants to make a blessing out of you. He wants you in a position where you can help others. And so we've got to obey his principles in order for that to happen. You know, I've said this before. A lot of people get all out of whack. They look at the Jews and they'll say, the Jews, boy, they just turn everything into gold. Those Jews, they own all the banks, they own all the loaning institutions, you know, they own all the businesses and blah, blah, blah. Those Jews, God just blesses the Jews. Well, actually, that's not correct. God blesses his principles, and the Jews just happen to obey those principles. The Jews adhere to the law. They'll go back in there and look at the principles. They'll read Proverbs. They'll read Psalms. They'll do what God says to do to make money. They use integrity. They have character. They're honest. They invest money. They put money to work for them instead of putting it under a mattress, you know, and put it in the ground and hide it and dig a hole and bury it. They actually use it. They use God's principles, and God blesses his principles. And if you do that same thing, God bless you. Woohoo! Are you with me? There's no magic wand here. This is not something just falling out of heaven. This is you obeying principles. Even tithing, which we hadn't got into tithing giving yet, I want to say that for last, because I want to cover some bases, talk about work, talk about budgeting, talk about borrowing, co-signing, what the Bible says about all that, because we don't ever hear much about that. We always hear about tithing and giving in church, you know. And we should, but that shouldn't be the only thing we hear. Are you with me? But even when you think about tithing, what God does when you tithe is he blesses the work of your hand. He blesses your business. Yeah. He blesses what you do. Yeah. Woo. Oh, y'all settle down. I know you're excited. I know society stuff. Okay, Luke 19. Now let's think about it. To put money into business or real estate or stocks or bonds, etc., for the purpose of obtaining an income or profit. There's many ways you can invest money. Money is extra money that you're putting in something to make money. Now, if you go buy a watch, that's not a good investment. Unless you intend to sell it later. If you intend to sell it later, that's fine. If you're buying jewelry, when you come tell your husband, look at what a great investment I made with this jewelry. Only if you intend to sell it later. Now, if you intend to sell it later, that's fine. Now, if you buy a house and you don't intend to sell it, stay with me. That's not necessarily an investment. It's a good deal. You need a house. But some people buy houses specifically for selling them later and making money, and then buy another one and sell it and make money. Are you with me? That's an investment. Cars the same way. So a lot of times we'll say this is an investment just to justify buying something, which you really don't need to justify buying a house. It's justified to buy a house. Now, if you plan on buying it and selling it, that would be a good investment. And one thing about a house, down the road, if you do fall on hard times, you can sell it and downsize and make money. Buy something lesser size, that's a good deal. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But we need to get in our mind what an investment is. It's not just what you put your beady eyes on. It's not like an Xbox. Yeah, that's a game. I mean, if you want to fire your babysitter and put an Xbox in front of your kids, that might be an investment, you know. Yeah, let the Xbox babysit. Okay. Luke 19, verse 11. Notice what it says. It says, when they heard these things, he added and spake a parable. Everybody say, spake a parable. This to me is fascinating because Jesus, some 38 parables that Jesus spoke, 16 of those 38 parables had something to do with money. Isn't that wild? I mean, God didn't shy away from money matters. I mean, he talked about work. He talked about investment. He talked about paying bills. He talked about people didn't pay their bills. He talked about budgeting. He talked about all these things in parables even. A lot of Jesus' teaching had something to do with finances because we all deal with it. How many of you know that? You deal with finances. I deal with finances. So here he says this. He says, they heard these things. He added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and he delivered to them 10 pounds. If you have any modern translation, we'll say mina. Everybody say mina. Mina was a designation of money. It was an amount of money. And he delivered to his servants 10 minas and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now, the Amplified to that says, buy and sell. The Holman Bible says, engage in business. New King James says, do business. The New Living Translation says, invest this. Invest this. So he gave them money to make money with. He gave them money to invest. That was the purpose of it. So an extra amount of money was there for investments. I think we need to be believing that God not only blesses us, but he blesses us above what we need. We need to believe for wisdom to do something with that money he gave us to make money work for us and for the kingdom. Amen? Now, there again, we're just quoting scripture here. I'm not making this up. This is right out of the Bible. The New International Version says, put this money to work. And the Revised Standard and the American Standard Version says, trade with these. Trade with these. Like you would trade on a stock market. You know how you trade. But they would take that money, they would start businesses, or they'd buy businesses, and that was the context of the parable. One mina, in case you don't know what a mina is, mas or mina, that's what they say in Espanol. But one mina in biblical times was the equivalent of 100 drachmas or denarius. Okay, there you go. Now you know what it is. Okay. A drachma, which is Greek and a denarius is Roman, was one day's wages. You know, a soldier got a penny a day. And when Jesus talked about the parable of the vineyard, he paid the laborers a penny a day. Remember, it says that in the Bible. So we know that. We don't have to speculate on that. Now, if you took that into today's wages of labor today, say made $100 a day, that'd be $500 a week or $26,000 a year. That wouldn't be a lot of money. Are you with me? That's kind of a low amount of money. But at just $100, just at $100 a day, 100 drachmas would be $10,000. That would be one mina. And it says here that he gave them how many? 10 minas. So he gave each of them $100,000 to go invest. In today's figures, I don't know what your footnote said, but that's the only way you can really figure it, is buying power, purchasing power. A day's wages is $100. 100 times 100 is 10,000. 10 times 10,000 is 100,000. 10 minas is $100,000 on a low end. That would be a low end. I mean, it actually probably was worth a little more than that today because, you know, if someone made a little more than $100, then that would be a different figure. So you could see he gave him a substantial amount of money to go invest. Everybody say invest. Invest. Okay? To make money with. You know, and sometimes we're blessed with money like that. Sometimes an income tax check comes in. Sometimes an insurance check comes in. Sometimes an inheritance comes. Sometimes we have been frugal and being wise with our money, And at the end of the month, we have a certain amount of money left over each month. Sometimes we'll put it in savings, or sometimes we might put it in a mutual fund or something. But you need to invest that. You don't need to put it. You put money under your pillow. You put money in the ground. Did you know you're losing money? Actually, your money this year won't be as worth what it was next year, unless you invest it. I mean, think if you put $100 in the ground 50 years ago. It would have lost a lot of value if you dug it back up. Now you got your $100 bill. Woohoo! Now it's worth about half what it was 50 years ago. Are you with me? Or less than that, you know, when you think about it. So he went off. That's what it says. 13th verse, he talks about what he traded with them. The 14th verse says, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man rule over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received a kingdom, that he commanded his servants to be called to him, and to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. King James says. Amplified says, gained by buying and selling. Buying and selling, buying and selling. You know how some people take, I know some people take cars, you know, they just buy them and sell them. They buy them, fix them up, sell them, make a profit. Flip houses, you know, they buy houses and, I know, it's any number of things. I know some people buy guns and resell guns, you know, and just sell them for more, you know, than what they got them for. It could be anything. I mean, there could be a million things you could think of, but you need to believe God to help you, you know, just to make your money work for you instead of just lose the money you have extra. If you have extra money, you shouldn't lose it. You ought to put it to work. It's putting money to work. That's what investment is. It may be a little amount. It may be a big amount, but if you'll get, you know, if you'll ask God for wisdom, he'll help you make profits. That's actually what it says, to see what they gained, what their profits were, the New Living Translation says. What they gained with the New International Version. Revised Standard says they gained by trading. Then came the first 16th verse, saying, Lord, your pound or your mina has gained 10 minas. Wow. That's pretty good, isn't it? Earned, one translation says, or it has, I have invested your mina. I've invested it. And I've gained 10 times that amount. Now, that would be phenomenal in any market today to do that. If you could just double your money, that would be phenomenal. Are you with me? But here's some good news. If this is in the Bible, y'all are reading this, aren't you? Yeah. Take off your denominational glasses for a moment. Yeah. All your presuppositions, your biases about what Christianity is all about and what the Bible really teaches. This is the Bible. We're reading the Bible. If we believe this, then God wants us to prosper also with whatever we have. He wants us to put it to work. Yeah. Amen? Amen? He wants us to work it, to put it to work. Because the word only works for those that work it. It doesn't work if you don't work it. That make sense? Yeah. And when the Bible says he'll bless all the work of your hand, he means he'll bless all the work of your hand. Let me read that again. It says he'll bless all the work of your hand. You know what he means? He means he'll bless all the work of your hand. Well, that's an interpretation, isn't it? Usually the Bible just means what it says. That's what's wild. We try to throw stuff into it, but he'll actually bless your work. He'll bless what you do. And you may be retired, and you can still invest. If you're retired, you can still work money. You can still have money working for you if you're retired. In fact, you better have money working for you if you're retired. Amen? Amen. 17th verse. And he said in the Well done, good servant. Well thou, good servant. King James says, well done, good and faithful servant. We always quote that concerning going to heaven. Actually, he's talking about investments is when he says that. In Matthew 25 is where this is repeated. He said, well thou, good servant, because you have been faithful. Ooh, everybody say faithful. That's interesting. So if extra money's laying around and you're not investing it, you're not being faithful with it. Is that reading anything into it, really? It says you've been faithful in little. In other words, whatever I've given you, you've worked it. That's like your gifts, your talents. You know, we usually will say things like talents because King James says that in the Matthew 25. Of course, he's talking about money. But if God's gifted you and you're using it for the Lord, that's being faithful. If God's gifted you, you're not using what God's gifted you with, that's not being faithful with the gift. You know, I was a minister or a pastor or a teacher. If I didn't come and I didn't show up and I didn't preach and I didn't share and I didn't study and I didn't, you know, I didn't try to enhance this gift, I didn't use this gift, I would be unfaithful with the gift. Isn't that correct? And if I never witnessed anybody, never talked about Jesus, never prayed for anybody, never read my Bible, I would be unfaithful with salvation. I need to invest my salvation. I need to be faithful with what God has given me and multiply it.
Amen.
And the way you multiply something is to work it. You put it to work. You give it away, as it were. And money-wise, if you want money to work for you, you have to put that money in something.
That's right.
You can't just store it up, stack it up. You can't just, you know, put it in a bank like the unfaithful servant, you know, that was afraid, that he gets into later on. You have to do something with it. 17th verse, he said, "And well, thou good servant, because you have been faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, your pound or mina has gained 5 pounds. Oh, wow, he made 5 times the amount. I invested your money and made 5 times the original amount, what the New Living Translation says. And he said likewise to him, be thou over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is your pound or mina. I have kept it laid up in a napkin. I didn't do a thing with it. I just held on to it. I didn't invest it. I didn't put it in the bank. But I got it in a plastic capsule, 3 foot under the ground, 4 foot out in front of my front door to the right, 6 steps, buried there where X marks the spot. Are you with me? Didn't do anything with it. I just got this extra. And, of course, we wouldn't say that today. I got this extra door and I went and spent it. That's what we'd probably say. Hello. I know it's terrible to do this right before Christmas, too. I mean, here I'm talking about, you know, investing in. But he says this. He says, for I feared thee. Everybody say, I feared. I was afraid. You know why people don't invest? Because they're afraid. You know why people don't start businesses? Because they're afraid. And in fact, a lot of people have trouble just changing jobs because they're afraid. They're afraid to start something new. They're afraid to start another job. Or they're afraid to go look for another job because they're used to doing the job they're doing, and they're afraid they may not make it, and they're afraid that may not come through for them. You need to believe that God's behind you and for you, not against you. You need to believe that God's on your side. You need to believe that God's going to help you. And especially when it comes to investments, you can't be afraid to invest. Well, man, everything I ever invested in, I just lost money on. Well, you know, join a club. We've all lost money. We've all failed. We've all been rejected. The list goes on and on, but you don't quit. You just keep going. You know, I've talked to pastors, and I've heard them talk about when their church is doing great, and heard them talk about when church is doing bad and how down they get when it's low and so on and so forth. Listen, I picked high cotton. I picked low cotton. I picked no cotton. You just got to keep picking. Are you with me? We do it because it's right. We do it because we know it works. We do it because God said it works, because God said to do it. Hallelujah. And he's going to bless what he said he'd bless. He's going to bless the work of my hand. He's going to bless what I do. He's going to bless what you do. You might make mistakes. Hey, join a club. We've all done it. But don't quit. Just keep going. Get back up. Shake the dust off and keep going.
Amen.
Amen. Don't be afraid and do nothing. Fear stops you.
That's right.
It just stops you. Paralyzes you. You know, Shakespeare said, our doubts are traitors that make us lose what we oft might win by fearing to attempt. We are afraid to try. We're afraid to even start the process. You say, oh, man, them stocks. I just lost everything in stock. Well, you know, invest in gold. Well, that's too high. Well, invest in silver. You know, well, that's too much. Well, you know, go mow a yard. Do something.
Yeah.
Are you out there? Maybe there's something you can sell. Maybe there's something in your house you can sell that you're not using. Now, I can't imagine you having anything in your house that you don't use, but there's possibly something there you could sell. Something, I mean, come on. I mean, if we're just really, you know, if we're letting fear dictate our life, then we might as well throw the towel in, stick the fork in, we're done. I mean, don't live in fear. Live in faith, hallelujah. And believe God over your investments and pray over your finances, hallelujah. God's will is that you prosper, period. I know you may not like to hear that. I know it may not sound religious, but it's the truth nonetheless. God's crazy about you, and he does want to bless you, and he does want to prosper you. He does not want you poor. You're going to go to heaven, and you're going to live in a place where the very streets are paved with gold. The whole city is gold, the Bible says. There's a crystal river coming out of the throne. And if you get hungry, there's 12 manners of fruits on the tree of life that you can eat all throughout the year. And you think God's not luxurious and heaven's not a palatial place. My goodness, you're going to be uncomfortable the first few weeks you're there. Because it is so fancy. It is so nice. It is so luxurious. And we're just barely believing God to pay our bills. No, let's get your bills paid. Come on, if you're there, if you're under the gun, well, hey, let's get on top of the gun. Amen? Yeah. If you can't pay your bills, well, let's start there. Let's believe God to get our bills paid. Amen? But let's get past that and believe God to have something to invest. Amen? Let's believe God to get our house paid for and help somebody else pay their house off. Let's start where we are. We're not saying it's a sin to be poor, but it is a sin to want to stay there. It's a sin not want to improve and not want to progress and not to be used more and more by God. I mean, it's in the Bible, amen? Woo! Hallelujah. So, he said, I was afraid. Well, there's a problem right there, fear. Fear will stop you. I was afraid because you're an austere man, a hard man. You take up where you lay down. Don't lay down. You reap where you do not sow. I said to him, out of your own mouth, I will judge you. That's pretty strong. We've been saying it doesn't work, and you know what? It's not working. We've been saying we can't do it, and you know what? We can't do it. In fact, those that say they can and those that say they can't are both right. Are you out there? You've been saying, oh, this is a bunch of junk. It's just not going to work for me. No way that can. Maybe somebody else, but not me. Well, you know what? It won't work for you. It won't work till you turn that around for sure. You got to start saying what God says, amen? You got to start saying God's good, he's for me, he's not against me, God wants me to do this, God's going to bless this, hallelujah. Maybe I didn't get it right the first time or the second time, but I'm going to keep doing it, I'm going to get it right. And God's going to bless this, hallelujah. And I'm not going to let fear stop me and paralyze me, hallelujah. I'm going to get back on this horse. That's what happens to people, you know, they get thrown by a horse and never get on a horse again. Mark Twain said it this way. He said if a cat ever gets on a hot stove, he'll never get on another hot stove again. But the problem is, he'll never get on a cold one either. And that's the problem with us, isn't it? We get burnt, and so we just throw the whole thing out. You know, maybe the situation wasn't right, the time wasn't right, the people weren't right, whatever. But so we get burnt, we have a bad marriage, so we never get married again. Or we have a bad relationship with someone, so we never get close to anybody else again. We don't just stop getting on a hot stove. We stop getting on a cold one. And I don't mean to say that, well, your next wife's going to be a cold stove. I didn't mean just a picture, just an analogy here. You only take it so far. But maybe you've invested and it hadn't worked out for you. Well, you know what? Hey, that happens. You know, I know the stock market periodically crashes in cycles, you know. I remember they were saying back in, I think it was the 1980s. No, it was the last crash was more recent than that. 2008, I think, was the last. 2008, I think it got down, 7,000 or below 7,000. And I was telling somebody, I got so tickled because I'd studied the stock market and read a lot of books on it, you know, and over the years. And just because I read a lot. I just read a lot of stuff. And they were saying it'll never be back up again. I said, are you kidding me? I said, it'll come back. You just wait. I said, you mark it down right now. It'll get back up to 14 and just go right on past it, you know. And what's it at now? What's it? 17,800 and some, almost 18,000 right now. And it's the end of the world. We're going to lose all of our money. They're going to change the money over. The stock market has always done that in cycles. It's always done that. If you know anything about stock market, see, and they play that on the media. They just play your emotions just like they do the Ferguson thing. Some tragedy takes place. They blow it all out of proportion. They get the whole country all upset about something. They do the same thing with the stock market. They do it all the time. And if you know anything about the stock market, it always comes back around. Long term, you know. But what happens? The devil plays us. He's like the media. As soon as you fail in anything, he plays that thing up. It's the end of the world. Oh, we're never going to do that again. Well, it's not the end of the world, and you can do it again, and you can get back up on your feet, and you can make it, and you are destined to win.
That's right.
You're a Christian. You're a believer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You can make it. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me finish this up. Is this helping anybody?
Amen.
Okay. So he said this. He said, by your own words, one translation, or your own words condemn you. Out of your own mouth I'll judge you. Wow, that's pretty strong, isn't it? If you knew that I was this hard man, taking up where I didn't lay down and reaping where I did not sow, why didn't you just at least put my money in the bank and get the interest of having it in the bank account? That at my coming I might have required my own with interest or usury. And he said to him that stood by, take from him the pound of the mina and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto the Lord, he hath 10 pounds. And he said, well, the everyone that hath shall be given. And he that hath not, even that which he hath not, hath shall be taken away from him. So if you want to keep what you have to use what you have. You use it or lose it. Did you know that's true with your mind? If you don't use your mind, you lose your mind. The best way to counteract, you know, bad memory is to get up and read, do something, you know, get your mind active. A couple of you said, yeah. you just got, okay, I heard that, Dave. But anyway, hey, turn to Matthew 25. Let's close this out. I'm going to maybe another 5 minutes or so. I want to go through this one quicker. This is actually Matthew's account, and the figures are a little bit different, but the same basic parable. Everybody say invest. Okay. This is spiritual. This is godly. This is biblical. This is Jesus talking. I want you to keep that in mind. Because for some reason we get to thinking, I don't know why this is, and I know churches, we're probably responsible for it, but we start making a little money and getting a little blessed, we almost feel guilty about it. Yeah. Guilty? Why would you feel guilty? God's just blessing you. Why don't you just take it and go bless somebody else with it? Shouldn't feel guilty about it. I don't feel guilty about church being out of debt. Don't feel guilty one bit. No. Not at all. I think it's a wonderful opportunity to help missions and do the food ministry that we do and the Hallelujah Night that we do. Don't feel guilty one bit. People start talking about us being a prosperity church. You know, I hear people say that. And I always like to ask them, sweetly, I'll ask them, well, let me ask you something. How much money did your church give to missions last year? And they start stuttering around, don't even really know, most of them. And then they finally come up with a figure and find out. And it's so much less than what we give to missions. And they're 2, 3, 4 times bigger than we are. But they're so in debt. And we're out of debt. See, prosperity is about giving. It's about helping. It's about blessing. If you don't prosper, you can't bless people. If you're just paying your bills and just paying for buildings and everything you get by getting in debt, then you'll never have anything to give. You'll just be paying bills and paying bills and paying. We finally decided, hey, let's just get out of debt and help suffering, sighing, dying humanity. Why don't we help missionaries around the world? Why don't we build some churches around the world? You know, we built a church this year over in Thailand. And I'm just talking to Charlie Milbrook, one of our missionaries that we support, talking about getting the thing built. He actually had the police and had some of the military in Thailand helping him build that church. It cost a little more than what we'd sent, but he got them to help. And the guy that's pastoring the church now that we sent money this year to build a church, and the guy that's pastoring that church, they just dedicated in October, used to be a Buddhist, and he was employed by the Buddhist religion to go out and destroy Christian churches, to talk them down, to tear them down. And he got sick. Now, God didn't make him sick, but he got sick and almost died, and he had a vision. And he saw Jesus, and he woke up quoting scriptures, and he turned his life over to Jesus, joined that Bible school. Now he's pastoring that church that we built over there in Thailand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now that's snatching something right out. Isn't that good? So we started the year out, along with the missions that we give every year. We started a year out and sent $7,000 because you can build a church cheap over there, to build a church in Thailand. Now that's prosperity. That's prosperity. We didn't have $7,000 worth of bills. Our bills were paid. So we sent that money to build churches. Amen? Matthew 25, 14 through 27, real quickly. For the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants, delivered them his goods, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every one according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Did you know we're all at different levels of prosperity or different levels of finances? Different levels of occupations, different levels of intelligence. That's fine. We're all different. We're all different. But whatever we have and wherever we are, we all have the ability to prosper. Because he gave to every man according to his ability. He may not give as much to one as much to another, but whatever he gave to anybody, they were able to prosper. And you need to say the same thing about yourself. Wherever I am, I can prosper. Whatever I have, I can prosper with it. Amen? Now, this is interesting because a talent, oh my goodness, a talent, this will blow you away. You know how much a talent was worth? $600,000. Two talents was worth $1.3 million. And five talents was worth $3 million. In today's figures, at $100 a day wages, if you break down a talent into 3,000 shekels, and a shekel is worth two drachmas. I just love those words, don't you? If you just do the math, that's what it was. It's a huge amount of money. And he was talking a parable and telling these people this money was used to invest and make money with. 15th verse. Well, let's go to the 16th verse. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same, traded, invested, and made with him other five talents. And likewise, he that received the two gained two. And he that received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Same principle as the Luke 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. And he that received five talents came and brought other five and said, Lord, I delivered unto you. You delivered to me five talents. Behold, I've gained beside them five more. You gave me $3 million. I've made three more million dollars. Woohoo. His Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Y'all see this? You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. We always quote that concerning going to heaven. He was quoting this concerning finances. And I do believe that it's going to happen when we get to heaven. He's going to say, well done. And he's going to tell us to enter into the joy of the Lord. Woo! But he was talking about finances in context here. Then he which received the one talent came, and the Lord said, I knew, 24th verse, I knew that you are a hard man, reaping where you had not sown, gathering where you had not strowed, and I was afraid. There it is again, fear. And I went and hid your talent in the earth. Lo, here is what you gave me. His Lord answered and said, you wicked and slothful servant. It would be wicked and slothful not to use what God has given us to prosper. And I think really most of us have things we can prosper with, but we're not looking at it that way. We're under this delusion that God wants us poor, that we're never going to make it, that goodness gracious, I was born in Wills Point, Texas, or I was born in Edgewood. How am I ever going to make it? Oh, what does that have to do with anything? God will bless you if you're born in Frog or Elmo. It doesn't matter where you are. Are you? Well, I'm in a small town. Well, you may be in a small town, but don't you pick up small town thinking. You need to pick, you got a big God. Amen. We may be in a small town, but we got a big God. And we got big thinking. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, he goes on there, and he gets on his case, and he takes the talent away from him and gives it to him, you know, that obviously made money with the money. And these two instances, these two parables, when you think about it, it's really a clarion call to all of us to quit buying the lie that you can just barely get by. Come on, get over that. God doesn't want you to just get by. If you're living on just get by street, you ought to move over to more than enough. Get off that street. Go move somewhere else. Amen? Did you know the Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, to his grandchildren? I know the Bible says that it's certain that you brought nothing into this world and you can take nothing out. I understand that. But you can leave a lot when you leave. And to be responsible as Christians, we need to leave a legacy. We need to leave something for our children and for our children's children. Our money can still work for us even when we go on to be with the Lord. But we're going to have some money left here to do that. And the way to do that is obey his principles, let God prosper you, let him bless you. And I tell you, if you'll start listening to what God's saying, go over some of these things we've talked about. What does the Bible say about work? What does the Bible say about budgeting, co-signing? What does the Bible say about borrowing? What does the Bible say about investing? Not just tithing and giving. We should do that. But let's ask God to help us with the money that we keep, to give us wisdom with it. Pray over your business. Pray over the job you work on. Pray over your investments. That's not ungodly. That is scriptural and biblical to do so. God wants you to believe him for your investments. Pray over the stocks if you're into that. Pray over houses if you're into that. Pray over hard money assets, silver, gold if you're into that. Whatever it is that you're doing, whatever business you're trying to start, pray over it. Ask God to bless it. You're actually in his will by doing that with extra money. Amen.